Thank you, Marcel. I missed him. He was away at a conference this week. Didn't seem the same, sitting alone, drinking coffee by myself. So to say how much I miss you, I thought I dressed just like you this morning. It's the least I can do. We're glad that you're here. Thanks for coming to the first service here today on this Sunday. And it's good to have Judy and Rhonda with us here. I was just sitting here thinking, it had to be 68 that I met you both. I think it would have been about 68. Of course, Judy's father is famous, really, Reverend Lorne Ello Pritchard, and Ronnie Burnside was Rhonda's dad, and just great people, and I miss them. They were just beautiful, beautiful people who loved the Lord and set a high, holy standard. And I remember at the Bible school, this dean he was, Ronnie, and at the Tabernacle and at Caribou Road, and just lots of great times. And so we're honored that you guys are here. They're on their way to the island, so we're going to capture them for a few minutes here at any rate. So anyway, welcome. And the rest, welcome. Thanks for coming. Really appreciate it. John chapter 15. Would you turn with me to the scriptures? I've called this friendship and sonship. Friendship and sonship. And I hope that it somehow impacts you and touches you and blesses you and stirs you as much as it has even my own heart. So I'm going to read from chapter 15. I'm going to read verse 12. It may not be on the screen here for all of this, but verse 13. Greater love is no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. All right, make a note of that. His friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Lord, will you bless this, thy word? Touch our hearts with it this morning, we pray, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Friendship with God. The followers of Jesus became more than servants. They became his friends. And I made a little note here. So it is with us. As we yield and present ourselves more and more and more to the Lord, we awesomely enter into that blessed state of friendship with God. It's a new thing. Formerly, they were the servants of the Lord. Now, friends of God. And I know that saints down through the ages have had a special relationship with the Lord. Just for example, Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. Verse 9. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, face to face. That was the relationship. Imagine that. The Lord would come to Moses and face to face. Then Numbers chapter 12. Not so with my servant, Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, which is different than others, with him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. And then if you go forward to the book of James in the New Testament, James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called, and one of the best, greatest titles you could ever have, he was called a friend of God. A friend of God, of all the things. God's friend, Abraham. And so I think that friendship with the Lord requires a unique kind of communication, spoken and unspoken, that simply comes out of loving the same things. When you love the same things, you have friendship. If you don't love the same things, you cannot have friendship. And so, the same things, loving the same things, loving the same truths, and loving the same beauty. And wherever that, you know, if we are loving that which is precious to us, we can have fellowship together. We can be friends. Something just to say, I that touches me. Then if it touches you, we can be friends. It's a very, one of the reasons why we're here together and why we can have friendship and why we're going to drink coffee together when afterwards, the reason for that is because we cherish the same truths. Because we believe the same. We believe that Jesus died for us, and we sang it this morning, and we clapped about it, and we rejoiced in it, that Jesus is alive. And thus we can have friendship. We have friends with those that hold something common and special, especially if something's beautiful. So friendship is really rich and very rare. Very, very rare. C.S. Lewis said, and I love this quote, "Is any pleasure on earth as great as a circle of friends by a fire?" Especially if we know the Lord. Friends are treasures, like rare jewels, not easily and plentifully found. And Oswald Chambers was moved by that enough to say that friendship is rare on earth. Real friendship, biblical friendship, is rare on earth. So here's the question: what does it look like? How would we know if it was real friendship? What does it look like? Well, it entails, according to, and I think she's right about this, Leanne Payne said that it entails an objective good outside of yourself, beyond yourself. So just for illustration, lovers. There's something unique about lovers. You'll even see lovers on a street. And they're completely engrossed in themselves. They're kissing and holding hands. But the unique thing about what they do is that they are looking face to face perpetually. They're just caught up with how wonderful you are. And we notice. I mean, they don't even know cars could run over them. They wouldn't even know. I wouldn't know that. So that's the uniqueness about lovers face to face. Whereas friends, it's different. This friendship love, it's not face to face. It's holding hands, gazing down the road, looking ahead, side by side. Lovers face to face, friends side by side. And their eyes look ahead and look down the road. So I think the truth of the matter is there are needy people. Even in a church, there are needy people who simply want friends. And because they want friends, they can never actually have any. Because that's not how friendship is formed. They want friends badly and will go from two different churches to finally try and find some friends, and you won't find them. At least that's my take on it. And you can never make any. People who want friends want it so badly that they can't possibly have it. So the very condition of having friends is that we should want something else besides that, apart from that. And that's why a Christian friend, just for example, is so special, because we say to each other, "Do you see the same truth that I see?" Whether it's the cross, or whether it's the second coming, or whether it's the Bible, or whatever it is, and we say, do you see? You say, "Oh, I see that. Yes, I do see that." So rather than, "I see nothing, and I don't care about the truth, I only want a friend. I only want a friend. That's what I want. I want a friend." So therefore, no friendship can arise. You see, we do not gain friends by focusing on them as persons, though we may gain their affection, their companionship, and perhaps giving ours at least for a while. But friendship comes out of, really, number one, comes out of common interests. And I presume I'll come back to that text again, but when Jesus said, you can't, now you can be my friends if the common interest is the same. Only if it is. Only. I'll come back to that. And secondly, friendship comes out of focusing on the same hobby or the same interests or the same truths or the same beauty. It's what you see, we're not simply here because we want friends. We're here because we lift up the lover of our soul. And we love him so much that we gather together in his name. And thus the splash over from that is that we have so many friends. But not we were not trying to make friends. We simply were focused on this great friend. And thus all these other friends just became part of it. But we weren't looking for them. There's, in other words, you can't go looking for friendship. It will elude you. It will elude me. And this good and outside the self thing is so much more exciting when somebody else shares our love for it. For example, Val will get excited. Somebody will mention some new recipe and her eyes go up. Oh, because she will probably try to make that. And you see a number of people talking about recipes or talking about Bible translations or whatever you're talking about. It's amazing. When it's a common thing, something spins out of that. It's something very precious, very special. And we want to encourage that as much as we can. So rather than looking at one another in the hope of gaining affection or companionship or affirmation, we loaded this stuff into our lives, rather we look up and out of ourself, that corrupt self that's usually there. We admire the same things. We enjoy the same things. And thus we have something in common with somebody else. I like doing woodwork and especially folk art. So when all I need is one person to say they liked what I was making, and I, because it's outside of me, and if they have an interest, we're caught up in it. We're talking about it. And I say, what kind of saw did you use? Did you use that? Did you do that? Where did you get that? Oh, that's really nice. That's interesting. Look at this magazine article I found. Do you think? And away we go, not focusing on each other, but focusing on the common interest. And what a richness that comes from that. So rich. So John chapter 15, in verse 15, said, before, does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friend, for all I've heard from my Father I made known to you. If, notice this, if you do what I command. It's conditional. I think it is. It's conditional. Because we are interested and compelled by that which God has planned. See, what I'm kind of anxious to see what God's going to do in your life. Which God has planned for you and what God's planned for the church. What he has in mind. See, that's an interest that we have. To know what God's will is. We can come together. Why? Because we all want to know, do God's will. Isn't that why we've come? Did we just come for comfort? Did we just come to soothe something within us? Did we not come, what is God's will for our lives? What is God's will for the church? What is God's will for this community? And we gather together to pray together and sing together and rejoice together to see what God is what he's going to be doing. And so, because we are interested in God's will, he likewise is interested in his will. And if I will pick up that which is valuable to God, and I indicate my desire to know his will and to be obedient more than anything else in the whole world, I want to be obedient. If that's true of you this morning, that you can say, I'm with you, Owen. I'm with you. I, too, want to do God's will, and I want to yield to the Lord's purposes in my life more than anything else in the whole world. Can you imagine, see the fellowship we can have and the friendship we can have? Because we're absolutely convinced that we have one thing. It's not friendship. We'll get friendships. We'll have valuable relationships. But that's not what we're seeking. We're not looking for that. We're not striving for that. We're not saying, oh, I don't have any friends. I'm going to find more church till I find a friend. You never will. I could almost guarantee that you won't find that. Because that's not the way. But on the other hand, my goodness, how beautiful it is. See, God is interested in his will, and he assumes that we are too. He said, if you do my will, you'll be my friend. So we carry forward the kingdom in his name. And because I desire to carry forth the kingdom of God in my life and doing his will, and you do, the richness becomes greater and greater and greater and greater. So when Jesus calls us friends, he's assuming that we want what he wants. That's how it works. He speaks of this oneness. See, the whole discipline of life is, I think it is, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but the whole discipline of life is to enable us to enter into this closest relationship possible with Christ. That's what I live for. Is that what you live for? You see, people say, well, go to church, you'll meet some friends. Oh, I don't doubt you will meet some friends. But will it be based on the solid things that make your relationship go on and on and on and on and on forever? I don't know. All I know that the purpose of life is that we would enter into a deeper relationship. And I challenge you this morning, as I challenge myself as I got up today, to say, God, here's another Sunday. Here's another opportunity for me to yield myself to you and to draw near to you. And we do that through the songs. See, we're not just singing songs. We're not just hearing a monologue here. We are wanting to know afresh what God's voice is so we can press in more. At least that's what we should be doing. And when that happens, when we recognize that the whole discipline of life is it able us to go yet deeper, yet deeper, yet deeper in the things of God. A close relationship Christ comes out of that. So I guess the bottom line is, dear ones here today, the bottom line is that only when we obey Christ can he take us to the Father. The first thing is we must obey him. Salvation is eternal. But this thing about friendship is those that do his will. Those that want his will more than anything else in the whole world. We want to please him. We want to have our inner self changed. We want to die to self, put on Christ, cast off the old, put on the new. How beautiful is that? And then he can take us to the Father as a friend. And so to remain in Christ is a necessity if I'm going to participate in his obedience. Jesus was obedient to the Father. I must be obedient. And as I'm obedient, then I get bestowed upon this, because you want to do my will, you are my friend. Wow. It's not just we all get to be friends of Jesus. It's not like that. It's, I could be a friend of yours. Yes. If you're willing to die to self and put me on, wear me, clothe yourself in me, participate in my obedience, and out of the outcome is friendship forever. And so as you walk out of here this morning, you can say, Jesus, I love you, and I'm so thankful that I'm your friend because I do your will. And I want, Lord, to keep on doing your will. I want to follow you. Again, we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about process and intention. It's, you are my friends, verse 15. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, here's the rub. This is why it makes it a little tricky. Within all of us, here we are. We want a friend. We want friends. We realize that we can have a friendship with Christ, but I must be willing to do his will if he's going to be my friend, if I'm going to be his friend. But there is a deep primal loneliness within everybody. And, you know, somebody says, well, the Holy Spirit's fine to have surrounding me and covering me, but I'd like somehow God with skin on. And we get that. We get that. But this primal loneliness is in everybody, right? That's why people meet each other. That's why they get married. That's why they have families, right? It's because they long for these relationships. So communication is so much of a part of friendship. Keeping in touch, sharing the deepest things of our hearts. So we are called, the Lord knows this when he builds, we're called into a conversation with him. And I know this to be true, that apart from conversation with God, we're very lonely. And that loneliness makes us super demanding, that we demand that people become God for us. And I think this loneliness is the primal loneliness of separation from God's voice. And we try to find something that would minister to us. So the Lord has to cleanse us and he has to heal us so that we could be his friend. Because there's so much stuff in my life that the Lord wants to talk to me about, and he will if I allow him. So we allow pain and alienation and hurt, and if we allow it to, because it happens in life, right? Say, well, I lost my mom, or I lost my dad, or I lost this and something, you know, through death or whatever it would be. And these are the very things that will draw us closer to the Lord. We allow pain and alienation to drive us. And just the other day, I was sharing with somebody about Jeremiah 29, and they were overwhelmed with things that were difficult. And I said, you know, plans I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you. From Jeremiah 29. And I said, the Lord has this plan, and he'll reveal that to you as you yield your life to him. And I just made a little footnote here. What a job needs to be done in all of us. Just such a, you know, here we are so needy. Even though we say, yes, I know it's my Jesus is my friend, but I find that I want people to be there for me. And I guess that's true for everybody. But what a job needs to be done in all of us. See, only in absolute obedience can the Lord bring us to this point. You are my friends if you do what I command. And that sinks into the very depths of our being. So we must listen to his every command, his every whisper, in order that I might die to myself. Otherwise, I will be forever demanding that you be here for me. Speaking as an individual, not necessarily as a pastor. Okay, thank you. Did somebody take that? I think your pizza is ready. It's just about another hour. So if this friendship thing, and he puts us together, I have to die to the old self. I have to die to the old Owen, who would demand that my friends be God to me. See, there are some people say, yes, I know I need to know the Lord, but the main thing is I want people to love me and care for me and shower their affection on me and not fail me and not disappoint me. Say, oh, I used to go to that church. Yeah, they call them, say, yeah, there was no friendship there. That's because you sucked all the life out of us, probably. Right? Probably. I know I could do it. I can cause the atmosphere to collapse in a room by my neediness. You will find yourself, you know, and I have felt the same thing, where you have to put your feet up against your desk to keep from being completely brought into that, because they were so needy and wanting friends and yet not willing to die to self. Not willing to be yielded to the Lord and shaped by the Lord, because they so want. I said, yes, it's nice to have the Lord, but what I want is this. I want to be loved. I hear people say, I got so much love in me to give. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. what you're really saying is, I want to be loved so badly at any cost. You know, and I find myself, he said, I don't care if you love me as long as you like me. And of course, that has to die. Because, right, because I will want you to entertain me, and I want to entertain you. And of course, there's things that just, they have to change. That old man, that demanding part, that my friends especially be God to me. And the reason why you're so profoundly disappointed is because you wanted them to be your God. And the danger, of course, is, we do expect, things will happen in relationships, and people will meet their spouses and future husbands and wives and everything else, but not if you're looking for it. The key is that you've come to yield yourself in a greater way to the Lord, and just trusting Him that rest will work out as it's supposed to work out. So I recognize it in my own heart, at least most of the time I do it, recognizing my demanding spirit, that it has to be dealt with. Only then can I know deep friendship with Jesus. But if I'm looking for something other than that, I think that I will be in some measure of trouble. Only then can I be a real friend. See, I can be a real friend to God when I have allowed Him to mold me and shape me and redo me. Then He said, now I call you my friend. Now you're ready to do my will, whatever that would cost you. You see, we usually seek friends who can take the pain away. I'm lonely. Take my pain away. I wish I had somebody in my life. Take my pain away. The problem is it can't happen. See, so we go from the desert of loneliness to the garden of solitude. I mean, there's a difference, isn't it? When you have given the Lord permission to deal with you in every way possible, to all the stuff that gets in there, and as I recognize my demanding spirit, then I notice that it's different. Whereas before, it was a desert of loneliness, but now I am choosing solitude. And I can relate to that. Part of me, by my very makeup, is that Val and I are completely different as husband and wife this way. She draws her strength from solitude, but she knows she has to engage in other areas. I'm the opposite way. She has to lead me home at night, because there could be one more conversation we could still have, and we could drink some more coffee, and we could be together. And I draw strength, and I have to find that place of solitude. But not, you see the difference? There's just how we are. We're just wired differently that way. But either way, for me, I go from the I want people to like me so badly. And so when you recognize that, say, that's like an idol. And how can I do God's will with those kind of things in my life? So I move from the desert of loneliness to the garden of solitude. And this way is chosen. I'm choosing to be alone and to be comfortable with it. And I don't have to always have the radio on. See, part of me, I have to have kind of something happening. And so I have the radio on, and if I turn the radio off, put the television on, or you open your Galaxy and you see what's going on there and get CNN News for Gain for the 10th time of the day. And I think the Lord would say, I want to call you away now so you can hear my voice so I can bring you to the Father. But here I am trying to fill my life with something else so that I don't feel lonely, and then I feel, I don't know what, I don't even understand it all. All I know is I recognize it. And so our identity is now, and this is where we want to go, right? Where are we moving? Where are we going to? Well, we want to come to that place where no longer, that our identity is now no longer in another human. That's the issue. We no longer demand that everyone meet our needs. And so, you may or may not disappoint me. But I don't care so much as much now. When I've died to self and I've put on Christ, I find, and hope you, maybe you find the same thing, that I no longer doesn't matter so much. Whereas you picture it otherwise, a church, and churches full of people who are saying, I'm looking for right relationship, I'm looking for relationship, I'm demanding that you meet my needs, I'm showing up, I thought this church would be the one, how come this isn't doing it for me? And the last church didn't do it for me, and I got good news for you, the next church isn't going to do it for you either. But can you imagine how it's different if you were no longer, you're no longer trying to find your identity in that and say, Lord, I will find it in you. And so how often we hear the cry, meet my loneliness, be my mother, be my father, be my spouse, be my friend I've always wanted, be the friend I've never had. Lord, please be that. And we can't go that way. You see, it's always dangerous when I say to people, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'll be there when you need me. I'll go and have coffee with you. I'll go meet with you. Very, very dangerous. Because what must we do? We must invite them to seek God's presence and God's voice and God's friendship. Right? They can't be drawn closer and closer to me or closer and closer to you. Then it'll be the same thing happening all over again. Kind of a sickness in the friendship. Needy people finding each other. Instead of people who are saying, I've come to do the Lord's will and he's called me a friend. And there's no higher, no greater relationship that Jesus says, Owen, I consider you my friend because you would rather do my will than listen to the voices of my culture, of my own Christian life. And I thought, wow, I see that. So we invite people into God's presence because we know that's the answer, right? The answer is to be drawn close to him. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 84. There's a beautiful picture. By the way, you ever wondered why I notice everybody's buzzing and visiting, and even more so in the second service because they're just getting up right now. And, we're saying hi to everybody, and then we go and people still want to go. Usually one of us is here until 2 o'clock. Why? The saints are still fellowshipping. But you know, I can hear often, even last week I saw somebody praying for somebody else, and this was going on, that was going on. Because we wanted to now to praise the Lord 10 times, it adds another relationship of fellowship, right? Because it's focused on Jesus. And here this week it'll be the same thing, at least I trust it will be, that as we're thinking of what a friend of Jesus would look like, that it draws that you want to go for lunch. Oh, okay. Do you want to go for lunch? Oh, okay. All right, let's do that. And away we go. You say, haven't you had enough? No, we just like being together. Not because we're sucking the life out of people, just the opposite. We found our fulfillment in Christ, and we found other people, they too want to be friends of God more than anything else in the whole world. And I think that's the beauty of it. So Psalm 84, I guess I could break in at verse 2. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. Isn't that wonderful? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. And they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. This is a beautiful picture of what the Lord would call you. If you are feeling lonely today with that existential loneliness, that primal loneliness, the answer is to come and fling yourself on Christ and say, Lord, what I'm feeling, I wish this was that different, I wish that was different, but Lord, I'm needing you more than anything else. And the Lord, as he sees that, because as he's come to do his Father's will, so we have come. And the effect of it is absolutely beautiful. And imagine, could anything be better, sweeter? We talk about a circle of friends around a campfire, about a whole church wanting to do God's will, wanting to be the friend of God. By how? He says, when you do my commands. Oh, that's just the best. And so, you know, when we're out of here, we leave here and we meet others and the week unfolds and things and there's all kinds of, and we see other people, they're friends of God. And I thought, only as God deals with me can I be a really good friend to him. Isn't that true? He must deal with me before I can be a good friend of God. And I can't be a good to you either as an individual. I can't be unless the kernel of wheat has fallen on the ground and dies, and my absolute main goal is to be obedient to Christ. What a wonderful church it becomes. Healthy. Not just a group of people trying to get something, but a group of people who have found something, and therefore we make good friends with Christ, and we make good friends to one another. Because I'm not trying to get something from you. I am fulfilled in him, and I have died to Owen, and therefore you can trust me. If that has not happened, then it's just be some, you know, say, well, people always want something. They don't if they've met Christ. They don't if they're a friend of God. Because there's nothing you can give that's better than what I have. And wonderful enough, when I stop looking for friends, they come from everywhere. It's odd, isn't it? When you gave up searching out for the perfect friend, find out that there's all kinds of people that have the same desires as you have, and you can have fantastic relationships because they're so healthy. And so, a friend of God, like Abraham, and like Moses, it's my desire and your desire that he would cherish the friendship. You imagine what it's like. He values this thing. I call you friends now. Remember, no longer servants. I'm not so interested in you doing anything. I'm interested in you just being, wanting to do my will. So I'm looking forward to what you're actually here. Because I'm conscious that I'm stumbling here a bit, but. When I call Marcel up, he's going to solve this. And we're going to take some. But what we do in this service, if you're visiting here, we've just taken a few minutes, just very brief time, just to get feedback as to what you heard the Lord say to you. And then we'll get Marcel to pray into that, into our lives. And then we'll go home and go for coffee. So, what's God saying? In the light of what you heard, what's God saying to you? Yeah, good. Somebody else? Yeah.
I like what you said.
A little louder.
I like what you said when you said we can recognize the things that are offensive to us without always understanding them. We don't understand always wondering why. We can recognize it and then ask God to do it.
Yes, yes. And it's, in that sense, it's quite simple, isn't it? You don't have to counsel yourself for hours just to recognize it. You know how when you're disappointed, it's often disappointed because of the relationship, right? Something there disappointed us and didn't work out. Yeah, good word. Anybody else? Yeah, William. Yeah. The casualness of that. Yeah. Good. Anybody else? Yeah. The Rose. Yes. Well, because when you hear that surrender is really hard, I think it is. It isn't once it happens, but getting there of surrendering to God, because what if he doesn't run things the way I want it, right? So I'm afraid to surrender. Yeah. Anybody else, upstairs or down? He assumes it. Wow, did you hear that? God assumes that this is what we want too. You want to carry that further? That's a good thought. That's all I got. But it was good. Yeah, he does. He assumes that, and how disappointing it must be to say, well, I don't know if I really want to be a friend. What I want is friends. Do I want to be? Wow, and he points that out. Yeah. Imagine, though, he says, all of these people, the reason I'm calling you is because you want what I want. And that would be a great commendation that you want what Jesus wants. How proud we'd be of you. How proud we'd be of each other in the best sense of that. Somebody else? Yeah, please. Yes, yes. That other old hymn, so old I've forgotten it. that other old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. That no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yeah. And that's what makes him call us friends. Anybody else? Just a couple more and then we'll move on. Yeah, Janice. Go to the throne before the phone. Oh, thus says the Lord. That's great. Okay, one more. That's great. That's going to stay with us. Somebody upstairs? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Carry on. You got something? No, that's beautiful. Okay, one more. I hear. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There you are. Yeah. Wow, let's stand. That's so good. I'm not playing second fiddle. I'm your best friend. Will you go out with that voice here ringing in your ear? He is your best friend. My best friend. There you are. Amen. Open your heart to the Lord as Marcel leads us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, once again, we're here this morning. Lord Jesus, your heart is to call us your friends, Lord. And Father, even as Owen was talking about flinging yourself to the Lord and surrendering ourselves, as Rose was sharing about, one of the hardest things to do. But God, you can be trusted.
Yes.
With all our hopes, with all our fears, with all those things that we wonder about with our future, God, you can be trusted. And when we actually take that step to fling ourselves in you, we find that thing that we really were created for in the very first place.
Yeah.
Friendship with God. And so, Lord, I pray that maybe if there's somebody here today even that might be a little bit afraid to totally give up everything and just release everything to you and completely surrender, I pray that they would just right now even have a strong sense, God, that you can be trusted. Lord, that we might experience the friendship of God.
Yes.
And that we wouldn't have to walk around looking for these sort of imitations, but we could experience true friendship, that friendship that we were intended to have. And so, God, I pray that you would just awaken things inside of us, even this week, Lord Jesus, of what we could have in you. And that would cause us to hunger and thirst to yes. know you more and to yes. know you deeper, Lord Jesus. And so, God, I pray that even as friendships grow and become deeper in a human perspective, I pray that this week, this church, we would grow in our yes. friendship with yes. you, Lord Jesus, yes, Lord. That our friendship with you would be so much deeper and so much richer as we gather together again next week, Lord, we pray.
Yeah.
So take us to those deep places, I ask.
Yes.
Remove those things. Maybe the enemy would whisper fear into our hearts and our minds, Lord. We just pray against that, God.
Yes.
That we would have no fear, but just excitement and joy and peace in surrendering all to you.
Yes. Yes.
And so, God, we give you ourselves. We give you our week. Lord, yeah. be glorified in it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Well, thanks again for being here this morning. We're going to invite our guests to come out first. I know most of us are stumbling over each other to get out there. And maybe if you're a visitor here today, feel free to go to the front of the line just because you're our guest. So Lord bless you. Thanks for being here.